blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Well, good morning, friends. Good to see you today. Good morning, you beloved community. Thank you for joining us here today. Those of you who are here in person, those of you who are watching online, we're so grateful, as always, for your presence. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at this congregation, and we warmly welcome you today. So for a few minutes, how about you stand up and warmly welcome one another? Then I will come back up and read our psalm and light our candle for today. Let's do that now, please. While you are standing, if you want to grab some of those cards in front of you, the blue ones, the yellow ones, and pink ones, let us know that you're here to send out some encouragement or a prayer request. You can fill those out. And if you're watching online, if you would like to share in the Lord's Supper with us a little bit later in our service, now's a good time to get those supplies ready. Well, let me please light our Christ candle to remind us that Christ is indeed among us today, and then we'll read our psalm for this morning. Would you stand, please, for Psalm 63? Then let's remain standing for the three songs that follow. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed, I will meditate on you in the watches of the night. You have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call, 'tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam, from the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call, 'tis a fountain open for all. There's a living well, and its waters swell, and eternal life they can give. And we joyful sing, ever spring, oh spring, as we haste to drink and to live. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call, 'tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call, 'tis a fountain open for all. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father or my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father or my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the elders or the deacons, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the elders or the deacons, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my neighbor or a stranger, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my neighbor or my stranger, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Would you please be seated? And you are singing this morning. It sounds beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Caleb, for leading us in that. During Lent, our communal prayers have been done in silence and in quiet, personally. So today we're going to do that again because we ourselves are in need of so much prayer. There is so much to pray about, so much to entrust to God. For the next minute or so, let's do that, please. Bring whatever is on your heart and your mind before God.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Philippians 2:1-11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even a death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thanks, Andrea, and glad you've graduated from your scooter to the crutch. Glad you're getting better. Well, you saw the Roots slide earlier, and that was my fault, Andrea. I thought Roots was after. That was my fault. So if you are in elementary school or preschool, you can head back to the Roots table in that back corner. Miss Brandy is already making her way, and you can join her for that table this morning. Let's pray together, please. As David prayed earlier, O God, you are our God, and earnestly we do seek you. Give us this morning ears to hear and eyes to see, and pour forth through me now the gift of preaching. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. Dear Southwest Central, perhaps you have heard it said that every Christian should carry around in their hearts a scripture, a story, and a song. Carrying a scripture, a passage from the Bible that you can quote with your soul, whatever the situation. I know Phil Rice, for example, carries around James 1 with him about widows and orphans, and Matthew 25 about sheep and goats, and whatever you did for the least of these. Phil's identity in Jesus circles around those two scriptures, and we can see that. Mine would probably come from John 13, when the one who created feet uses his hands to wash them, and Luke 24, when eyes open and hearts burn because Jesus happened to be near after all. Who could have guessed? Carrying a story. This is a narrative wrought by God, where you were somehow the beneficiary or the messenger of God's redemptive movements. Among this group here, I think of Larry and I think of Mercy, who have stories to tell about God showing up when lawns were being mowed or when medical bills were unable to be paid. For those of you online, I think of Jan or Bobby, who at the drop of a dime will say, "But God has been faithful." I have stories too, like the time when I lived in Oregon, serving and greeting and meeting and learning, and when it was time to return to Texas, my plane was about to land in Dallas, and as the wheels touched down on the runway, maybe, I think, but I'm not really sure, perhaps God spoke to me. The only time I've ever heard anything like that. And what I heard was, "There is more for you." Or like the time I lived in Houston and my house flooded twice, and community in the form of you and angels in the form of strangers showed up and gave and offered and fed and housed. Carrying a song. This is the God melody that rises up within you as organically as the soil in your garden. It hums in you when you are on the bus, when you sing it in the shower. It becomes the first line of your silent prayers. Peggy Sampson, she'll tell me often of the song that's on her heart these days, and then she'll sing it out loud to me. When she is singing, all is calm and all is bright. Even when it's not. Or Joe Sandifer, and I don't know why I remember this one, Joe, but one of her songs is "The Church in the Wildwood," right? An invitational hymn about a little brown church building in a valley. I like that. For me, I don't know if I have a song. It's not for want of trying. I tried to come up with a song, a carol, a chorus, something, and while lots of songs came to mind, I do hail from the Churches of Christ, and we are nothing if not singers. Even then, none seemed to fit neatly into my pocket, a song I could carry with me, or ever have carried around with me. It's not that I don't like singing, I do. And it's not that I don't like Christian songs, I do. I'm just more likely to have an NPR article swirl around in my heart, or a line from a recent book or a poem, than a verse from a church hymn. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe it's that music just isn't my jam. Maybe it's just that I haven't found one yet, or maybe it's just harder for me to sing these days. But I do feel like I could go to church, have no hymns on the order of worship, and not feel any worse for the wear spiritually. A scripture, a story, a song. 2 out of 3 isn't too bad, I think. 2 weeks ago, we began our Lenten series entitled "Whatever Happens, A Letter to a Wildering Church." Philippians is that letter, and we are exploring Paul's words to that church as a way to inform our own during Lent. "Whatever happens" is a nod to chapter 1, verse 27, which Steve Sandifer preached last week. Thank you, Steve, for doing that. "Whatever happens," Paul says, "live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." And wildering is a verb form of wild or wilderness, which is a key idea of Lent. Wilderness, speaking spiritually, is that place that you go on purpose or not, where you have to leave behind all your goods and services and walk on with nothing but a cross on your back and Jesus before your eyes. You have to trust him when he says he'll feed you and give you something to drink. The bread of life, he calls himself. Living water, he says he'll serve. We talked about wilderness a few weeks ago. The Philippian church is in a time of wilderness. They have serious decisions to make regarding serious issues. Otherwise, the church is not going to survive out here much longer. There are factions and divisions about important matters, but the matters have become more important than the people and more important than the God they claim to follow. But it wasn't always like that. Paul, who loves this church so very much, remembers better days when the church lived and loved and gathered and worshiped and gave and taught with the oneness of God. He had seen firsthand what their following of Christ looks like. He's witnessed how their love made all the difference in their lives. He's beheld them as a community that leans toward the Spirit, not against it. He's been on the receiving end of their care and concern. Paul writes in verse 1, what Andrea just read to us, if there is any encouragement in Christ, and there is, if there is any consolation from love, and there is, if any sharing in the Spirit, and there is, if there is any compassion and sympathy, and there is. This Philippian congregation knows how to be a church of Christ because they've done it. If there are any of these characteristics embedded into the Christian life, and there are, then, Paul says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, one mind. He pulls the minister card, which could be seen as coercion or pulling rank. But before we ask other preachers to please not to do that, it should be noted that Paul's ultimate joy is not in himself, but in Christ Jesus. If we can, simply by reading this old letter, watch the congregational dominoes fall one after another, it's right here that we can see what it is that is tipping them all over. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Paul is not hostile against personal liberties or expressing uniqueness or taking a day off to treat yourself. What he is opposed to is any egotistical self-centeredness that is toxic to the faith community and detrimental to the Christian witness. What he has so little tolerance for is any behavior that runs counter to the gospel of Jesus Christ, who was only and always about the service of others. The word for vain conceit there is kenodoxia, which is the empty pride found in narcissistic ambition and self-satisfaction. Kenodoxia has no use for humility or the interest of others. How much kenodoxia have you witnessed in our world the last several weeks, months, and years? It is the antithesis of Jesus the Christ, plugging our world like a dense swarm of locusts that blocks out any light and consumes any fruits before it could be portioned out. You, however, instead of that, do this. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. To get there, Paul sings to them. Actually, he copies out the lyrics of a song, the stanzas of a hymn that everyone in the church already knows by heart. It's a song the church sings often during her services, so much so that when some members see it on the printed order of worship, they roll their eyes and say, "Again?" Yes, again, Paul says. Because it speaks not of a faceless universe, but of an embodied God with definition, with arms and legs and cells and feelings, whose constant refrain throughout the weary earth reverberates of a kingdom and a presence. Even though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When Paul closes his blue hymnal, it's not the song with its shaped notes that move him. What moves him is how the singers live the song. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, Paul said before he blew the pitch pipe. What Jesus did, you do. That, to him, is far better than any professionally trained choir could ever, ever sound. I may not carry a song around with me wherever I go, like I do a scripture or a story, but I do carry around songs, singers. I have vivid examples in my mind of people singing, and their singing moved me, and it moves me still. When I was a child, I remember laying my head into my mother's lap as she sang hymns at church services, and the one that sticks in my memory the best is her small alto voice singing the song Ivory Palaces. A few years ago, I remember when Cora sat atop my shoulders, more difficult at 7 years old than two or three, and at the top of her lungs, she sang aloud with Disney's Moana, "See the light as it shines on the sea? It's blinding, but no one knows how deep it goes, and it seems like it's calling out to me, so come find me." And as sweat ran down my back as I held her up for so long, Moana's words became like the Spirit of God's as I prayed over my daughter who sat above me. "No one knows how deep it goes, but keep calling out to her. Come find her." I remember when I got to see Hamilton the musical in person, and Eliza's character sing so stirringly, so hauntingly about the unimaginable, about loss and suffering and prayer and forgiveness. "There are moments that the words don't reach," she sings. "There's a grace too powerful to name." Can you imagine? When singers sing their songs, I am carried by them. A few weeks ago, after Russia invaded Ukraine, I came across a fascinating video of a man and his piano. I'd like to share that with you now. King, if you'll turn it up a little bit, make sure the other music is paused.
I'm saying hello to all those people who are coming in. I am saying hello with my piano. They come from a place where everything is bombed, and now they come here and they hear a piano. So this is like a cut. They leave the bombs behind and they go to the music.
I am saying hello with my piano, he says. They leave the bombs behind and they go to the music. With all the trauma and pain the people are carrying with them as fleeing refugees, this performer welcomes them with a song without words. And for a moment at least, they are warmed by its fire. His music carries them, a tune so different from the soundtrack that clanged in their ears. While Ukrainians who run away from a madman are different than anything I have ever experienced, I am reminded that wildernesses do come in all shapes and sizes and arrive at different points in our lives. I am reminded that even though I may not have a hymn as of yet to carry with me, sometimes it's the song that does the heavy lifting, saying hello to weary travelers. Sometimes it's the singer that carries the people, and the people stream to the music. In the end, for us here, what fully moves us in the Philippians hymn is not the lyrics or its singers. What moves us is the one whom the song is about, Christ Jesus, who acted on behalf of others without view of any gain, showing us how to live and how to die, and finally bringing salvation upon the earth that we could never accomplish on our own. He has shown us the way. Jesus himself has given us our pattern, our calling, no matter our standing or our vocation, where we don't use God for our own personal gain, where we don't manipulate relationships with God into something that it's not, where we examine and reject and empty ourselves of discrete privilege or misshapen lifestyles, where we move toward the margins because that's where we believe we'll find Jesus playing the piano, where we humble ourselves, where we humble ourselves, even to the point of death. When we take the singer seriously, his hymnic being speaks to all areas of our lives, not just our church life at Southwest Central, but our entire Christ life. During Lent, now into our third week, we've been given space and time to listen to his music and move towards it. We've followed him into the wilderness on our way to Holy Week and crucifixion and resurrection, and whatever happens out here, whatever you are experiencing these days, he is putting into our hearts and our bodies a new song, a desperate one, a hopeful one. If you, like me, have no song to carry with you, then let his song carry you. Better yet, let him carry you. He who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather emptied himself for you, for us, for the sake of the world. It leads us right to the heart of God. It leads us to Jesus, the God Jesus, the God that is It leads us to Jesus, the one God raises up and names. And you and I and everyone else and all of creation will bend and bow and confess with wonder that he, out of his lowliness and poverty, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And together, friends, we say or we type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we sing together.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Please be seated. It's that grace that we find out in the wilderness, in the desert. It's that grace that feeds us and gives us something to drink. Today, as a congregation, we get to eat and drink together at this table like we get to do every single week together, and it is a gift, an honor to do so. If you're watching online, now's a good time to share in this with us. As we have become accustomed to doing, if you would like to help share the bread and the juice with the folks of this congregation, you can join me up front in just a moment and help me do that, please. First, let's pray, and then we will eat and drink together. Out here in the wilderness, O God, bind our wandering hearts to thee. By your grace, please do so. We give you thanks for Jesus, who leads us on our way on this journey. Our eyes and our ears are open to his leading. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, let's also give, because we, church, have been given. You can give today in the form of funds. You can give online. You can drop it off at the office, put it in the mail, and you can also give today into the offering plate that these two guys will carry around this room with them. Also, if you happen to fill out any of those cards, the blue ones, the yellow ones, the pink ones, those can go in there as well. Let's pray, and then we can give. Oh God, today you have given us our daily bread, and we will continue to trust that you will do that tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. Thank you for this congregation, for their generous hearts, the hearts that you have placed within them. With this funds, O God, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, just as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, in just a moment, Steve will come up and talk about the Point Ministry, but you see this up on the screen first. The Thursday Bible class is continuing via Zoom, 10:30 this upcoming Thursday, and King is your connection, as always, to that. I'll talk about Bible classes in just a moment. Steve, how about you come up and share with us?
Well, for the last 15 years probably, in March, the University of Houston Campus Ministry has had a fundraising gala with the emphasis on fundraising and letting people know what all is going on the campus of the U of H. With COVID, we have not had that last year, and we're not having it this year. We did not think it wise, so we have switched to the virtual method, and you will see on the screen, and it's also in your program today, the URL for the point-uh.com gala. And we will have that on Tuesday night and invite you to tune in and look at it. Part of it will be live, part of it will be taped. And we want you to know what's going on at U of H. I think we've had three baptisms this year already. And one of them, for instance, as I understand it, was a student who simply walked in the door and said to Clint, "I want to be baptized." And it's the power of the message that has gotten out, and we are known for our Christian commitment on campus. So please watch that and support this wonderful ministry.
We do have Bible classes of all ages and topics and ways of conversation and learning that hopefully you can stick around and be a part of immediately after we are dismissed from this room. So plan on being part of one of these today, please. All right, let's be sent out in benediction from Philippians chapter 2. If you will stand, please receive this word as we go forth from here. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, then make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility regard yourselves, regard others,